are listening to the Oakland Asian Mom Podcast.
Hi, everyone. This is Sarah, and I'm with Cheryl, and this is a little mini episode of the Oakland Asian Mom Podcast, where we wanted to talk about what has been bringing us joy during the pandemic. So, Cheryl, do you want to start with that?
Sure. We're over a year being sheltered in place, so that in itself is making me think about, okay, how does it begin? Where do I even start? And when you ask me the question, the first thing that came to mind is, because it's just happening right now, is my son is going back in person in school for a couple of days a week, only for 2.5 hours. And since we live very close to school, we've been, you know, scooting, walking, biking there. And as a working mom, I never really got the experience of picking my son up right when the bell rings.
Oh, yeah.
And so I am the drop off person, and I love dropping them off and saying hi to his friends. However, my sons have always been in after school care, babysitting, schlepped by other people in the same way I kind of was, because I had a working mom too. So when I get to pick them up like at 2:50 right on the dot, it brings me a lot of this mini joy of being able to be the first one to greet him and to just see his face and the excitement. Our school has done wonderful in terms of being able to prepare for safety and protocols. So I think he feels safe. I feel safe. And all of it just is just really a joyful experience. And I think it's sort of infectious, because I see all the moms and brothers and uncles picking up their kids, you know, their little one, and everybody seems so happy, smiling behind their mask. And of course, it's still rough, and we're still in the middle of it. So these little pieces of joy in the moment, but yet still, I am very sweaty when we're like rushing back to go home, and for me to try to make my, you know, 3 o'clock meeting. So.
Oh wow. That's a tight window.
Yes. But yeah, that's been giving me some joy these days. Mm-hmm. How about you?
So mine is the Korean pop group BTS.
BTS. What they does BTS stand me... for?
So it's kind of a long story. In Korean, it's Bangtan Sonyeondan, which is translated into Bulletproof Boy Scouts. But as they've gotten, more popular internationally, I think I've read that now it's supposed to stand for, oh, I don't know, behind the scene, or I don't, something in English, but the origin is in a Korean word. So I'm Korean American, and I grew up listening to a bit of K-pop and also watching Korean shows with my mother. And that was a way in which I, you know, kept up my Korean and felt really connected to that identity. And I haven't really been, I haven't really like listened to K-pop in like decades now. And then I got really into them during this pandemic, and it's been really fun because my kids are really into them too.
And do you watch the YouTube videos?
I watch everything.
Okay, and you have to break it down for me, because I know BTS just because when they came to the Oakland Coliseum pre-COVID, it was
you remember that?
It was a big deal, right?
Because
my friends who have kids who are older, and they have like more grown-up kids, like high school, college age, they were like excited. I don't know, they were saying how their kids were so excited to go to the concert. I don't know if they went to Oakland or San Jose, but I knew there was a big...
They had a concert at the Coliseum, I want to say maybe in 2018 or 2019. Okay. And then, so I got into them at the beginning of 2020, and they were going to have a concert at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. Mm-hmm. So my friend and I got tickets to it, but then it got canceled. So, you know, someday I'll go see them in person. But it's been like, just like, brings me a lot of joy.
Oh,
and I think I think the fact that it's also, you know, it's seven
There's seven?
There's seven.
That's a lot of boy band members.
There are some band, like K-pop bands, where it's like a dozen members. And so when I first started getting into BTS, I thought, oh, seven members is a lot. But now I feel like, oh, they're so distinct and I can't imagine it being any less than seven. But
I want to ask, who's your favorite one?
You can say favorite one. So
like, who would you have a poster on your wall of if you were like 12 years old?
Jin. Jin is the oldest one. And he's actually not the most like talented member in terms of singing and dancing. But so in K-pop, they do, you know, they do a lot of stuff. So they do all of this, you know, singing and dancing, but they also have a lot of like reality show type of media. And he is really, he's kind of funny.
Okay.
So, and he's also very handsome. So aww, that doesn't hurt. So he's my favorite one, but it's a little hard to defend why I like him so much, because it's like, he's not the best performer, but it is what it is. Yeah. So I think what's been fun about it is like, they've really blown up, you know, the past couple of years. And especially this year, they got a number one hit on the Billboard Hot 100, and they were nominated for a Grammy. And so I think it gives me a lot of pride,
you
know, that they do most of their music in Korean, and it's seven very like emotionally mature, kind, funny, downhearted, humble men of Korean descent. And I think it's been really fun. And again, like, my kids have gotten really into it too. And I do feel as though it helps them to connect to being Korean and proud of it.
I did read something around BTS either making a donation or a statement during the summer BLM movement, that when it was more active over the summer. And I was really, I had a lot of pride in that too. I go, that's awesome.
Yeah, they made a $1 million donation to Black Lives Matter, and then their fans matched it. So it was $2 million. And then they also recently put out a statement about the recent spike in anti-Asian violence as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, they, you know, they're pop stars, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's not their activism is not kind of like their core, but I do feel as though they are socially conscious, and I think they use their platform in positive ways. So anyway, that's been
cool.
My pandemic joy.
Other than cooking and gardening and going to the nature and woods.
Yeah, the number two would be nature.
Yeah. Going out every week on a bike ride or anything like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, let me see if I could add to that list. This is kind of funny. You know how, I don't know if your dad growing up ever answered the phone. Did your dad ever? No, right?
My parents didn't answer phone, I don't think.
What if you weren't there? Did they answer the phone?
Maybe. But I feel like when we were at home, if there was anything that potentially had to do with speaking English, like me and my sister would do it.
Answer the phone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there's kind of like me and my Filipino first gen cousins would be like, yeah, my dad never answers the phone. So in college, we would be like answering the phone, expecting my mom. And then when dad answers, you're like, what? You know, you're kind of like flabbergasted.
Like, is mom okay?
Yeah. It's like, why are you answering the phone, dad? I don't know why I bring this up. I know I bring it up is because one joy is that I pretty much, or especially early on when there was much more anxiety unknown about, you know, the virus and how it could spread and all that, I was calling my mom constantly. There was probably a lot of us who were connecting with her. And so that was one of my joys, calling my mom, asking what they're doing, sort of like wondering, are they going out? Are they following the rules? But mostly they were doing really good. You know, they're very good in following the CDC guidelines, even though I would catch my mom going to the mall once in a while. And I'm like, Mom, why do you need to go to the mall?
It was open?
Yes, at certain points it was open, right? Because like it shelters in and out.
Yeah, and that county also has lower rates than I think the rest of the Bay Area.
County. And I mentioned my dad is because for some reason, when I call my mom's cell phone, it goes to my dad's iPad. They don't know. And so every time I call my mom, my dad answers the phone. So it's sort of like, oh, my dad can answer the phone. And I never talk to my dad over the phone. If it's not about taxes or mom's not here, she's at church, can you call her back? I never get to talk to him. And so recently, just this week, he called me and I go, oh my gosh, is everything okay? Why is he calling me? Like, I have not memorized my dad's cell phone number. I know my mom's, but not my dad's. Mm-hmm. I go, oh, okay. He goes, are you watching it? I said, what am I supposed to be watching? He's like, Rob Bonta is on MSNBC.
Oh,
and I was like,
yeah.
Oh, really? I don't even know if we have that on our cable channel. Uh-huh. He goes, look it up. He's with Lawrence O'Donnell or something. I don't know who that guy is. I go, okay, I'll look it up. He's like,
is that like a news newscaster? Anchor?
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah. And so I, okay. So I was like, oh, that kind of gave me joy that my dad called me. And also gave me joy that he's really proud. And he would know that I would be excited to watch Rob Bonta. And my my sons were watching with me. And they're like, oh, who's that guy? He looks Filipino. I said, and yes, he is. Uh-huh, and do you know what he is right now? And we were just talking about it. So I think that kind of gave me joy. I think these past year, there had been different conversations about racial justice and with the whole election and we're pretty much aligned in our politics, so I think being able to talk like that in a safe space with my parents gave me a lot of joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, shout out to Rob Bonta, who is our assembly member.
Yes,
formerly.
Yes, representing also, Alameda and Oakland.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the Filipinos, you have the Chief Justice of California, the AG. You just need that governor seat. You have all three branches of government. In California.
Yes. We have a city councilwoman who's Filipina too.
That's right.
Yeah. So there's a lot of love to be spread around. And I think it was also nice to have that moment with my kids, especially with all the anti-Asian violence and attacks that are happening in the community, like in Chinatown and in Atlanta, that every day seems to just have a lot of highs and lows still.
Yeah, I know. It is an interesting time. I mean, there's also a lot of positive press around Minari, the movie about Korean Americans in Arkansas, and I think it got some Academy Award nominations, including for Best Actor. So it's the first time ever that there have been two actors of Asian descent that have been nominated for Best Actor. So Riz Ahmed and Steven Yeun. And then, like I was saying about BTS, you know, doing stuff with the Grammys and on the Billboard charts. So it's sort of like one step forward, 10 steps back. It seems like it's an interesting time to be Asian American.
Yeah. And for the Korean American community, right? It's more than just Margaret Cho and
Sandra Oh.
Sandra Oh.
John Cho. UC Berkeley alum.
John Cho. I love John Cho. He's awesome.
But yeah, for years, it was... Who is the Filipino, like, equivalent of Margaret Cho? Like the Leah Salonga?
Yes. Yes, Leah Salonga. I think she won a Tony, is that the... For her portrayal in Miss Saigon.
Mm-hmm.
We could have another episode on, like, the changing thoughts of, like, that.
That's right, yeah.
But yes, if you do ask, as a kid, we did have a lot of pride that Rufio from Hook was Filipino. Dante Bosco.
Is he?
No, I don't think he's from the Bay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think he's from, I don't think so. But yes, we recently had the kids watch Hook and we were just waiting for the moment to say, Rufio's Filipino.
All right. Well, those are some of our pandemic era jokes. If you have questions about BTS, you can reach out to me somehow. We're going to scrap it.
We can set up a voicemail where folks can also send their BTS questions and their pandemic joys too, and we can share that with the community.
So wait, we could do that through this?
Yes, yes.
Oh, awesome. Okay, yeah, that would be great. I mean, I guess the pandemic is potentially winding down. You know, there is an end in sight with people getting vaccinated and all of that. So it'll be interesting to transition back to normal life too.
Yeah. So once we set that up, check out our voicemail. You can call and leave a voicemail. I'm sure you haven't left a voicemail for somebody in a very long time, since no one ever talks to each other on the phone these days. So feel free to do that. And thanks for listening.
Take care, and don't forget to call your mom.